Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. I am Lina Salazar, a health coach and the creator of the Food Sanity Program. I work with women who want to stop fighting food on their bodies.
And I'm Ingrid Weiss, who's also a health coach. I help women in leadership avoid burnout and overwhelm by optimizing what they're already doing well and also figuring out how we can change what is not working for them in an achievable way.
In the Big Life Podcast, Ingrid and I hold inspiring and honest conversations with people who have recovered from stress and burnout and learn from therapists, doctors, scientists, and holistic professionals about the effects of stress on our well-being and how to live bigger, more fulfilling lives.
Today on the show, we are joined by Chris Perrin. Chris is the co-owner and operator of Cut 7, a boutique sports conditioning studio in D.C. Chris moved to D.C. in 2006 to attend grad school and work as an accountant. During this time as a student and accountant, Chris started his first training business. Today, we'll be exploring what it takes to stay focused and manage your stress as an entrepreneur in the fitness industry. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, we are very excited to have you on the show today.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of Cut 7, so thank you for accepting our invitation. Before Cut, you, as your website says, you led a triple life. You were accountant by day, PhD student by night, and you were a personal trainer, whatever you found the time. How was that? Why were you doing so many things?
So I started out as, I came to DC from Boston. I came with a girlfriend. I had a job at GW, started working as an accountant, the whole time taking grad classes to get myself eligible for grad school. I didn't have the prerequisites. So doing grad school and doing the accounting thing and applying, working out, still kind of bored.
Okay.
And I had always helped people with their fitness throughout college and stuff like that. So I decided to, while I'm doing the application process, and there was kind of that downtime, do some personal training. So I found this little studio and started personal training, got into grad school, took a little break from that, and started grad school, started disliking grad school. Well, it was the work as an accountant, grad school, and then trying to stay sane. So started doing a little bit more personal training, a little bit less schoolwork, and that lasted for about a year. And then I just stopped doing grad school and focused more on the training and keeping my job.
So why accounting, why grad school, and why personal training?
So I've always had a love and passion for fitness. I was a heavy kid growing up. And I always played sports, so playing sports was kind of a way of staying quote unquote healthy, especially in my family's eyes. So I played football. I loved football, and loved the training part too, as much as I loved the sport. Fast forward to university, and I don't know what I want to do. But the school sends a letter to my parents saying that your kid's really good at accounting. And my dad's like, you should be an accountant. And I was like, whatever, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. So I majored in accounting. I wanted to be a social worker.
Okay.
My advisor said a social work degree is like a fart in the wind. No one's going to know you even exist. I was like, yeah, seriously. I was like, that's awful.
Yeah.
But I don't know any better. So anyway, graduated with an accounting degree and became an accountant. I liked it.
Okay.
because I was good at it, was kind of easy for me. And I could do other things. You know, I didn't have to take it home, or I rarely did, you know. So I had a life outside of my job, working for an accounting firm, working for the university, whatever it may be. But, you know, I always wanted a little bit more. So I would work out, train, you know, go out, do everything social. And eventually, you know, I wanted more professionally. And I thought economics was,
PhD.
I thought that was going to make me rich. So it was for no other reason than to make a just lot of money. I thought that's what, you know, you needed in life. I was mistaken at the time. But and I found out that, like, the pursuit of money is, like, you have to have a really good reason, you know, to do something you absolutely hate. And money wasn't enough for me. So I went, I started my my PhD program. I was probably the least interested person in account in economics out of everyone there. So I didn't do great. And I had other avenues of enjoyment or fulfillment. And I knew that getting this PhD would look great to other people, but it wouldn't feel great to me. So I just, it wasn't a huge, a hard decision to just leave. So yeah, and I...
What, sorry to interrupt, what did your parents say? Because it feels like your parents were like, yeah, this is good for you, right? Yeah. PhD, wow, we have a son who's like doing a PhD in economics.
Right. I think they were surprised and happy that I chose to do that because it was my own decision. I think they were, oh, he is finally showing interest in his education. You know, it only took 21 years. So I think they were very happy about that. But when I quit, I didn't really feel that they were disappointed. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, maybe you'll just be an accountant, you know, and that will be fine. You know, you can always, you know, pursue that career and see where that takes you. Little did they know that was not the plan. It was, the plan was to get out of it and find something that really fulfilled me.
So. So walk us through the process. So accounting, PhD in economics, you quit that, you love to work out, you like that part of it. Like, that seems to be fulfilling and challenging. So walk us through, you quit grad school, or your PhD program, and then what? You know, accounting is easy, but not fulfilling. It's not making you happy. And sure, the money's coming in. I'm sure that's nice, but that's not happiness.
Right. And I think as a 20-something-year-old or young 20s, you don't rationalize all of your decisions. But I think maybe internally you're making the right decisions for some reason. And I saw that I thought I wanted money. And I was already personal training. So I'm like, wait a second. Maybe I can just stop. Maybe I can just stop doing the PhD stuff and make money now, personal training. So I was getting up at 4 a.m. every day and training people from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., going to work from 8:30 to 5, and then training people from 5:30 to 9 o'clock. And I would do that 4 to 5 days a week. And I was making a lot of money. I'm like, yeah, I'm killing it. And honestly, you just, body can't do that. Your body can't do that. And so I burnt out, you know, pretty quick.
But tell us a little bit more about that. Let's unpack that a little bit. How did the stress manifest in your life? And when did you say, oh, yep, this is not good?
Well, to be honest, I never considered myself someone who could be stressed. I always had an outlet. I always had something that I would break me away from the troubles of my life, right? I've learned in my old age that that's not what I was doing. I was kind of escaping the things that I didn't want to deal with. But at the time, I thought, I'm working out. I'm like killing myself in these workouts, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working out so hard. And it was so exhausting that all my other issues just kind of floated away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people do that now. Mm-hmm. And then I would run into the same issues that people run into now that I see. They burn themselves out. Mm-hmm. They're burning their candle at both ends, working so hard outside and then going inside the gym and working so hard. And there's just no stop.
So what was the moment where you're, I'm done with accounting, now I'm going to focus on building this business? Or did that ever, was that a thought process at any point? Or how do we get to where you're now?
Yeah, I didn't consider training a job until I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, this is a business. And I was like, this is for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is like my going out money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally doing this for fun. She's like, no, you're good at this. Like, you need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that was true. And so she kind of steered me in a direction. I knew what was going on, but I never thought it would happen. Mm-hmm. She gave me ideas and opportunities mm-hmm. to expand my training business, quote unquote. And eventually, I'm doing equal time accounting and equal time training. Yeah. And it didn't take until we decided to open up our own gym that I considered leaving my job as an accountant.
Why? Why didn't you see you loved the training, you loved that part of it? Why was the accounting still holding you?
Like, comfort. Why were you
Yep.
Comfort, you know, it was an easy paycheck. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to leave a situation where I knew exactly where I would be when I retired. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the height of my career as an accountant? Mm-hmm. I could tell you how much I would make when I'm 50, you know?
There was a path, right?
There was
like
a
certainty.
Path.
Mm-hmm. And how... We would love to know, of course, the details of sort of like the story of how Cut came about, but how do you tell us a little bit about the uncertainty and the risk taking mm-hmm. when you started Cut? Let's start there.
And so we can unpack it a little bit. Did you still work as an accountant while you were opening Cut and when you opened Cut, or was that a conscious like cut off of the accounting world to move into the Cut 7 world, or was there kind of like a side hustle?
Yeah.
So what kind of entrepreneur are you is basically where I'm getting at. Is it the person that still has like a job and is moving this business forward? Or is it the person that ends their career and starts a whole new thing?
Right.
Just jumps off the cliff.
No, yeah. And that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was about 2 months before we opened our doors, I would quit as an accountant and focus all my attention on building this business. And we had saved enough. We were prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was we had a baby.
Okay.
And
oops.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then we did a fast calculation in our minds of how much this would cost. And we basically decided that there's no way I can quit.
Okay.
Until this baby's born. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, once she's born, I'll quit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's born 9 months into the 9 months into the gym being open. She was born in June.
Yeah.
The gym opened in January. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm one of maybe four coaches at the time, so I'm doing everything. I quit accounting a year ago.
Okay.
This month.
Okay.
I quit accounting in October of 2018.
And Cut 7 opened January
2017. So mm-hmm. it was a lot longer than I wanted, for sure. But again, it was easy,
mm-hmm.
right? I'd go to my 9-to-5 and it wouldn't really be a huge deal. It was everything else with that time suck, you know, mm-hmm. in the middle.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Chris, so when you tell the story of Cut 7, there's like a lot of things that would stress me out, scare the hell out of me. Like the uncertainty, having a baby, so like that financial instability, right? How did you push through that stress compared to, let's say, how you dealt with stress in the past? And what mindset do you think helped you and Alex, or what personality type helped you and Alex deal with that and handle the stress of that period of time of like the creation of Cut?
So in the beginning, it was like just, I don't know, it was electric, you know, at home it was, in the gym it was. My personality became like very dark. And people are like, you're not the same. People are like, do you guys have problems? What's going on? It's like, yeah, we have problems. We have like really serious problems, actually. Yeah. Do you really want to know? So, I mean, the stress was, it was a really insane. So it was either you figure it out, you really analyze it and try to solve this problem together, or you just fail, or you just stop. Right? Which is the same thing as failing. And Alex nor I are the stop type. We're like, make us stop. So we do like, you know, the powwows where we sit and talk and try and like really communicate and hash it out and make sure that tomorrow is better than today. And we did a lot of that. And it was a lot of soul searching. And I think one of the keys to us both, and Alex reminded me this yesterday, one of the keys to really having the mindset of don't let this beat you up is you can only control what's going on inside of you and your reactions. You cannot control other people. So that mindset really helped propel us forward, and it still does for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I think this is the perfect time to take a break, but stay tuned for the second part of our conversation, where we'll continue to talk to Chris, one of the co-owners of Cut 7, about how he deals with the day-to-day stress of running Cut 7, and also how Cut 7 has played a role in helping others deal with their stress.
Welcome back to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are
Ingrid Vaishus
and Lina Salazar, broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C.
Welcome to those just joining the conversation. Our guest today is Chris Perrin, co-owner and operator of Cut 7, a boutique sports conditioning studio in D.C. During the first half of our conversation, Chris shared with us how he got to the point in the starting the journey of thinking about starting Cut 7, what his life looked like before, how he was handling three jobs at the same time, and how his wife, Alex, and him started to run Cut 7 and make it a profitable business. So now we're going to focus a little bit on how he deals with stress currently, how stress is different now, and how Cut 7 has built a community around the idea of making people healthier and stronger, and definitely moving away maybe from like that just very narrow-minded view of exercising as a way to lose weight. But it's so much more than that, right? And building community.
Absolutely. So my ways of dealing with stress now are completely different. I think it was a lot of escapism before where I would... Listen, it's great to go to a workout and lose yourself in the workout and take a break. And I think it's important. Unfortunately for me, my workout is like my heart and soul. So like, it's never just like a workout for me. I don't get to just sit there and enjoy it. Now, now some days I do, I go in there and I just lose myself, which is amazing. But I have a more introspective way of dealing with stress than I ever did.
So tell us a little bit about how you deal with stress now.
Yeah, I try to figure out what is causing my stress and if this is something that has to do with me or it has to do with someone else. I think that's an important distinction to make for me, because if it's my own doing, I can control it. If it's someone else's doing, then I can't control it and I just let it go. It's that simple. It's not that simple.
No, it's not. I was going to say, please tell me how you do that.
Yeah. It's really not that simple, but it's a perspective that I feel is necessary, because as a business owner, you rely on so many other people I rely on Alex to do so much, you know. Mm-hmm. I rely on everyone around me to do things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't do the things that you want, and that causes stress. I also don't think stress is like a horrible thing. I think stress can be self-inflicted and life-saving. And I think sometimes, just like a workout, stress is teaching you something. It's a stretch. You're stretching yourself. You're feeling the fact that you're trying to do something that you haven't done before. And that's not a horrible thing. I think the reactions to stress is what's horrible, if it causes like distress, you know, if like you panic or if it causes anxiety. And that's the kind of stress that I really try to eliminate, and it will cripple me and cripple my day if I allow it to.
I think what you just said is super valuable, because I read recently that we have demands, right? And your job, you have constant demands. Stress is how we respond to those demands. So if we look at them from a negative perspective, or if we let them take away the way we handle things, then that becomes stress. And then that becomes maladaptive, and we spiral down the stress and burnout scenario. But what you're saying is great, in that I can only control what I can control, right? I depend on so many people, and sometimes it's not in my control. So you're controlling your response to a scenario.
And that's the frame of mind behind your stress is the most important part of dealing with it. If it is a negative experience where you just feel like you're being pushed down into a hole, then you're going to try to run away from it, and you're not going to learn anything, and you're going to avoid it at all costs. But there are certain scenarios where you're pushing yourself and you're stressing out because you're pushing yourself, but it's giving you a new limit to your life. And if you frame it in that way, then it can have the most positive repercussions. And I welcome stress. It's discomfort. I give people stress. I stress people out for a living, and it's purposeful. And I want people to say, you know what? I'm very uncomfortable right now, but I can do this, or I can try, and maybe I can't do it, and that's okay. But I'm going to be okay with whatever happens, whether I do it or I don't. And honestly, that comes down to the mission of our gym, where it's not so much, who cares? I don't care if you've lost a pound or if you've gained a pound, or I don't care. I want you to be a better person as you walk out of here. I want you to be a little bit more comfortable being uncomfortable. And I want you to have a positive frame of mind about this discomfort.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, part of the work that I do with my clients is helping them figure out or understand that health and wellness is more complex than losing weight and et cetera. And when I take your classes at Cut7, and when I see the content that you are posting on Instagram, I can see that you are promoting precisely this big truth, which is that a workout goes beyond weight loss and a thin body and et cetera. How do you transmit that, or how aware are you of that truth that you are transmitting?
It's such an unpopular way of looking at fitness.
Mm-hmm.
To say, everyone will say you read every magazine and they say the mental benefits of exercise.
Yeah.
But people walk into the gym and they're thinking, I want to look better than the day, than, you know, when I walk out of here than when I walked in. Because of, like, there's more of that than the mental benefits of exercise. No one explains it, you know? Mm-hmm. People are just like, oh, topical, you know, you'll be happier. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, the way you look. It's about the way you feel.
Yeah.
And if you can make someone feel good in a workout, especially while you're giving them something that's very uncomfortable,
yeah,
you know, and if they can feel accomplished at the end of that, subconsciously, they will take that outside of the workout.
So you said topical, and I love that you said that, because that's precisely I want to jump to sort of like precisely the spirit that you bring into the community, the sense of belonging, the sense of connection. And I can speak to that because I feel it myself when I go to cut and they know my name and they're like, high five, Lena, and you know, you can do, push that sled, keep pushing. That, I mean, research shows that sense of connection, of belonging, lowers depression levels, your stress, your anxiety, etc. Is that intentional? Is that let's do this, right? It seems like it's not, but I want you to know that that's the effect when you're creating a community and around strength and team building rather than weight loss.
This is 100% intentional. From the very beginning, we said that Cut7's not a gym, we're a team. And we're here to not just make you a better move a better physical person, meaning you move better, your body feels better. And I don't mean that in like you look better, but I mean functionally a more complete person that when you're 70 years old, you'll be getting off of a chair like you did when you were 30. That is one of the things that we do, but it's also about pushing you and having people around you that will try to elevate you and give you positive reinforcement, not just in the room, but outside of the room, that will support you. And we didn't necessarily think that it would happen to the extent that it's happening.
Yeah.
Because people really do go above and beyond in the support system. But it is, we've realized, Alex and I, how crucial that support system is for our own personal enjoyment, success, whatever you want to call it. Everyone needs it. Everyone needs it. And you can be a very high achieving, whatever you're whatever you consider achievement, you can be a very high achieving person and a more high achieving person if you choose to not do things alone.
Yes. So going back a little bit to what you were saying before about the workout, it's intentionally hard. It pushes people to do hard things, to test their limits. And in my work with high-achieving women, I have two camps of women. The ones that are so stressed, are so bogged down with life that movement and exercise is just not a part of the equation, right? So that one is, we have to figure out what they love to do, what they feel excited to do, and get them to move. The other camp of women are those that see exercise as a form of escape. That's where they relieve their stress to the point where they're doing extremely hard workouts every day, all the time, because it's their way of coping. But they don't see the correlation between maybe not sleeping well, more frequent injuries. They are not as strong as they could be despite the fact that they're working out every day. And when we're talking about that, we're having that conversation, it's a very hard jump for some people. How do you handle that, right? Knowing that you have an amazing place that's building an amazing community, but is also making people do very hard things and in a very challenging way. How do you create the self-knowledge and self-awareness that, yes, you can do hard things, but you also need to know when you take it back a notch and when you give yourself a break so that you can actually come out stronger at the end?
Yeah, one thing that we do not shy away from is difficult conversations
mm-hmm.
With our athletes, with our coaches, with our captains, everyone top mm-hmm. down. So when we see people who are either overtraining, or when I meet someone, I have people in my life that don't, that are on that end of the spectrum, that don't do anything physical because they just feel like they're giving everything to their mentally and mm-hmm. you know, whatever it may be. Yeah. We do not shy away from telling people that they're going to hurt themselves by mm-hmm. doing cut seven and then doing solid core and then doing yoga
or marathon training. Yeah.
And then marathon training, like all in between.
It's too much. Mm-hmm.
So one thing we don't allow is two classes in a day. We do not allow you to take two classes in a day because you're going to do a marathon every day. You're going to run a marathon. Like 2 hours of working out is too much. Mm-hmm. Hitting the same muscle groups. And that's another reason why we sparse out our muscle groups, because mm-hmm. it doesn't allow for overtraining if we built in the breaks into our program. Mm-hmm. But it really does come down to having a very difficult conversation. And when someone, you do have an athlete who's injured, you tell them, this is why. Mm-hmm. This could have been avoided, unless it's something, you know, they, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, their ankle or whatever. But
if plantar fasciitis,
plantar fasciitis, you know, broken toe like me.
you guys, falling apart.
But it's about having honest and truthful conversations mm-hmm. and putting yourself on the line and being like, I may affect our relationship. You may never come back here, mm-hmm. but I would rather you not come back here and have me contribute to your self-harm.
That's amazing.
Wow, I didn't know that happened. That's good to know. It's probably because I don't go twice a day.
No one does.
No, okay. Let me bring it back. I don't know if it is too drastic, but I want to go back to the personal sphere. Mm-hmm. And in like the first half of the of our conversation, you said, so I was an accountant by day and that's where my job ended, and then I was just mm-hmm. relaxing and having fun with friends. Ingrid and I were both entrepreneurs, and we know very well that when you have your own business, there's no boundary between life and your business. It just like merges and it's sort of like the same thing. How do you keep those boundaries? How do you protect those boundaries? Even though I know you enjoy the community and that helps you and Alex, as you said, sanity. How do you protect those boundaries?
I'm getting better at it.
Okay.
Because I do look at it as my life. Mm-hmm. I look at the Cut 7 community as my friends, my family. And I want to be there for everyone, and I'm not going to say, no, this is my day off. I don't have time to talk to you today. I'm not that person. The one thing is, you know, I have a 2-year-old, and a wife who deserve time and, deserve love and attention, and they're my number one priority. So if it's time with them, that's a boundary that I have no problem setting. Now, that's not to say that I get a phone call from, you know, a coach saying the lights won't come on, you know, then I'm saying, okay, Mac, we're going to watch Sesame Street for a second while I make this phone call. So I do try to draw the line, and Alex is great about this, and Alex is great at reminding me that I need to do this. But it is a blurred line very much because I do care so much. And I've been given so much by everyone in our community that I only feel, it's not that I feel obligated. I want to give back as much mm-hmm. as I've received. So
as Cut has grown, right, and it's evolved into a larger community, have you seen certain areas of your life, like, is it harder to keep doing certain things that you were doing before? Or are there areas of your life that weren't particularly good for you that have naturally dropped off without you intentionally even thinking about it, just because you feel like the work that you're doing is so rewarding?
I would say, I mean, I was any kind of... like drinking.
Or, like maybe relationships or things that you used to spend your time on that no longer are part of it, just because.
After getting into, or after having so little time, you really have to be so protective of it. And things that you don't really aren't passionate about outside of your love, what you love, you really have to pick and choose, right? So my buddies want to go out drinking or something like that. What will that affect that I really love? Because that's not a passion of mine. But getting up in the morning and playing with Mac, like, that probably won't happen as early as I want. Going to brunch with Alex, like, I probably won't want to do that, you know, if I sacrifice and do these things with my buddies. And not to say I don't love my buddies, but, like, you know, you have to pick and choose, you know. And the things I love will 100% win out every single time without apology. So you lose friends that way. You lose interest in a lot of things. I haven't watched one football game this year. And this isn't like a conscious decision. It's just there are other priorities. And I'm a huge football fan. I love it. Well, I guess I did.
Maybe you didn't love it that much.
Maybe I didn't love it that much. There's just different stuff that I'd rather be doing.
How you fill your life that feels much more fulfilling right now.
Absolutely. And one thing about the big picture, you know, that I'm really focused on is, like, what's the purpose behind this activity? How is it fulfilling me? What is it giving me? What will I learn from it? It's like, you only have these moments, you know? Why waste them?
How will it make me feel?
Yeah, exactly.
Is what I ask my clients to, when they're facing a choice, whatever it may be, with exercise, with food, with people they're going to hang out with choices that they have to make in life, is how will this make me feel? And if the answer is joyous, great, powerful, strong, energized, then that's a great choice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like we are not only the food we eat, right? We are the media we consume, the friends we hang out with, the workouts we do, etc. This is like a perfect bridge to ask one last question, one that could take hours to respond. But at the beginning of our conversation, you talked about how, of course, you were 21, 19, when you thought that success was about money, right? Like, I need to make money. That's why I'm pursuing this PhD in economics. What is success for you now? How has that concept shifted for you?
Success for me now is learning more about myself and my relationship to the world around me. It's not about growing Cut 7 and building this big fitness empire, whatever everyone else would think, you know. It's more about a personal relationship with myself and growing with that and trying to be the best person that I can possibly be. Being a really good dad, you know, that's success. Even if that's a thing, I don't even know. But, like, I'm going to try, you know?
That's amazing.
It is a thing.
And I think this is the perfect segue towards the end of our conversation, where we love to ask people the good things in their life, because I think when we focus on gratitude and what's going well, we tend to reduce the level of stress in our lives. So what does living a big life mean to you? And it follows really neatly with what success looks like for you.
Living a big life is every day challenging myself, whether it's emotionally. I want to challenge myself emotionally. I want to challenge myself physically. I want to challenge myself intellectually every single day. I really want to push myself. And I don't want to avoid stress. I want to learn about it. And I want to learn about my relationship to it.
That's awesome. And what's one thing that you're excited about right now?
We're trying to open our second location. Yeah.
Southeast.
So hope that we're looking forward to that, and we're trying to get that done before the year end.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Cool. And then where can people find you? How can they learn more about Cut 7 if they haven't heard about it? Where is Cut 7? All these things for anybody who doesn't know.
Cut 7 is in Logan Circle. We're at do people say www anymore?
No, not anymore.
Not really, but okay.
The World Wide Web. cut7.com. I am Chris Perrin7. That's my Instagram handle. And to learn. I really recommend for anyone that I am very much into meditation and kind of digging deep into that, just what is going on in their everyday life. So if anyone does go on my Instagram handle, check out my meditations. I try to do one or two. I try to do like three a week. I was doing them every day straight, but it's just like different thought-provoking things, things I deal with every day and things I'm sure everyone else deals with every day. And it might jog your brain. It might help you out. It might push you mentally and emotionally in a way that I definitely know how to push physically.
Awesome. Thank you.
Chris, this was great, and I kind of like wish Alexia over there would give us 10 more minutes to talk about meditation. But this was a great show. I honestly feel like I would want 2 more hours to talk to you.
Yes, same.
And about your lessons learned about the introspection, which is so important. I have like key takeaways from this conversation that I also would like our listeners to leave away with, and the first one is sort of like that way in which you deal with stress now. It's a very simple yet powerful question. What's causing the stress, right? You need to pause to ask that question. What's causing the stress? Is it me? Is it under my control? Or is it like outside, like my control bubble, let's say? And I also like that you said, and actually just at the end, that you want to learn about your stress. We have all these very negative connotation and view of stress, and we talk about it in negative terms. And it not only can save us from like not being, you know, run over by a car, but it also can, as you say, and I agree with that, open the door to know yourself better and gain self-awareness about your behavior patterns and responses. So I think that's very powerful. And also, although you didn't say it and we didn't ask it explicitly, we didn't talk about work-life balance, let's say, but we talked about those boundaries between you and the business and how do you protect your life, right? And you said something powerful, which is it's all about choices, right? It's not about being able to do it all. It's about choices and prioritizing and understanding and gaining self-awareness and agency of, like, what is this going to bring into my life? Do I value that outcome? Mm-hmm. So for me, and I wish, I hope listeners have those takeaways.
And I think the thing that struck out in my mind is, how do you handle your stress? Is it in a healthy way? And I think we talked about it early when you said I was using exercise to escape, and then now I use it as a very different tool. I still push myself, but it's in a very different way. And I think that's something that we all need to think about. How do we handle our stress? And are we doing the things that we're doing to escape from it? Or are we actually looking at it in the eye and being like, okay, can I control this? Or if not, how am I going to handle it? And I think that was really
The bad stress is the one that interferes with your life, right?
Exactly.
Either like because you escape it or because you respond in harmful ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are an entrepreneur in the retail space, or if you simply like ice cream, Chris, do you like ice cream?
I love ice cream.
Well, then you be sure to tune in next week when we'll talk to Sandra Tran and Gil Wellsford, owners of local ice cream shop Nice Cream, on what it takes to build a successful retail business as a couple.
So thank you so much for joining us today. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to share it with friends and review us on iTunes. And if you have any guest ideas or topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. I'm Ingrid_wellness.
And I am at live.well.way.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.